What's your favorite Christmas thing?
Thing?
Yeah, that's brought on purpose.
It's brought on purpose.
And I don't mean spiritual. I know this is a spiritual podcast. We're talking secular right now.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
My favorite Christmas thing is probably the Judy Garland version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas from the movie Meet Me in St. Louis.
Until then, we almost muddle through somehow.
Yeah.
I like Hang a Shiny Star. I love the Judy Garland version. I know that's OG.
It is OG. It was written for that musical. Hmm. And I love Judy Garland. And so, like, and I love the idea that, like, in most musicals, there's a song that, like, surpasses the musical, you know, that goes on and just goes into, like, the normal canon of whatever. And so I love that that's the one from that movie. That
it's probably my favorite, too. I lied. It's my favorite.
Christmas thing. Did that count as a Christmas thing?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's brought on purpose. Mm. I mean, that, yeah. That's how I feel about Moon River from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
It's a very similar feeling. And gosh.
Also, the one from when I was a kid is my mom once a year would make homemade sugar cookies.
Wow.
Like once a year, and it was at Christmas.
What is that? Do you just like put sugar on a baking sheet and like put it in the oven? I don't know. I've never made sugar cookies.
That's precisely. No, they're like. Yeah, it's like you got to do it pretty specifically and you got to roll them out in a certain way and everything. And I make them now, but like when I was a kid, she would do that once a year and it was at Christmas and I loved them. We had like the ones that were shaped like mittens and snowmen and, you know, Christmas trees and all that stuff. And so like that, like when I'm thinking back to like favorite Christmas things, that's a very tender and sweet memory.
I know your mom's name is Lydia, but I almost just called her Carol. And I think that has to do with Christmas. I think I'm just eating up in
Carol?
It.
Carol?
Yeah.
My mom, if my mom were named Carol. One more. When Christy and I were first kind of getting to know each other and falling in love, we without even saying anything, we were like, we're going to get each other Christmas presents. And so I like made her a mixtape, and to me, like that was me like going all out.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great, I was like, very, great, you know, one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really excited. I was like, I knocked it out of the park. And this is on like a physical cassette tape. Cause it was, you know, 1997. And I went over to her house to give her the mixtape. There was a giant cardboard box. And when I opened it, there was an artificial tree inside it. And on like every branch, she had hung another Christmas present that she got from me. It was like 25 different presents.
Yeah.
All thoughtful, all having to do with me, all like wrapped. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to raise my gift giving game.
You wet the bed pretty hard.
Oh yeah. And before I went over there, I was feeling pretty confident about the mixtape.
Someone who's listening just heard me say the phrase wet the bed and they're like, that's weird.
That's a classic.
They literally swiped up on their phone and canceled the app and they were like, I'm done.
They didn't just unfollow the podcast. They canceled the app.
No, they were just like, sorry.
Delete Spotify. Like
someone for the first time was like, oh, ancient new one to this podcast. What a weird name. And then they just like,
they deleted the podcast app.
Yeah. I have like a least favorite Christmas thing.
Okay.
I think it would surprise you. I don't think you know this about me, which is saying a lot.
I'm ready.
My least favorite thing is like 11 p.m. Christmas night, the last hour.
Because it's over. I can see that.
I stay awake for the entire, until the clock hits midnight.
Midnight.
And then I'm sad. Like, sad.
But aren't you like a little bit excited that it's almost your birthday?
No.
Your birthday's in 4 days after that. Like once you hit the 26th.
No.
You're knocking on the door of your birthday.
Because at that point I've gotten all my birthday presents because everyone writes to Thomas.
That's garbage.
For birthday and Christmas.
No, that is that party foul. That's garbage.
Well, go back and tell it to everyone in my whole life for 26 years.
I'm tender right now.
Yeah, and also like, it, like, I just don't. We don't. Birthdays have never been a big deal in my family ever.
Oh.
So birthday. Cool. I'm like, cool. I was born.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. I just happened to be there.
You kept surviving.
I just happened to be the thing that was created. Thank you. And I love it. I love that I'm on Earth and alive. But I've never like been one to say like, it's my birthday. Let's do it. You know, like, because my mom was the one who gave up her birthday to have me on her birthday. And they,
you were your mom's birthday present.
Yeah, you know, an emergency C-section. That's happy right. birthday.
I forgot it was your mom's birthday when you were born.
Yeah. I mean, I like, that's probably the weirdest thing about me. I'm like, let's go throw our mom a party on our birthday. A
Christmas gift.
What?
Her birthday gift.
Yeah, like, hey, we're going to take this knife. Just don't look. Yeah, that's your stomach. That's your small intestine. Oh, there's the baby.
Not small
intestine. I imagine that's how it goes.
It's uterus.
Yeah, I know it's in there. I know it comes out. But, like, they're probably close to each other. You can see them. Oh, no. What have we done?
Whoever was still left following the podcast is now unfollowed.
It's just that over. Thing when you're like going to cancel your apps because they're drawing battery. That's just what's happening across the country right now. All 32 listeners are just like,
to this podcast.
Just,
oh my gosh.
But yeah, that last, like I remember last year's so clearly. And I watched The Lion King was on ABC Family or something.
Yeah.
And my parents were both asleep on the couch next to me, and I was just sitting there, like, just checking my phone every 4 seconds. Like, is it over? Is it over? Please don't be over.
Is Christmas over?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate it. I hate when it's over. A month is not long enough. 25 days is not long enough.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I mean, like, there's all, like, I'm not one of these people, but some people have, like, an embargo on Christmas music until December 1st. Like, you're not allowed to listen to it until, you know, until December actually begins or whatever. I'm not like that. But, like, some people are like that. And then it's like, this is all you get. This is the only times you get to hear Bing Crosby. Like, has anybody ever heard a different Bing Crosby song other than Christmas songs? It's like, I'm sure he made other recordings, but we don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, bird will fly right there.
I'm telling you. But... So what I'm saying to you is, well, I have to go back for a second.
Go back. Go as far back as you want.
Listen, it's not right that because your birthday is on December 30th, that somebody would feel like they can just lump your birthday and Christmas present. What if you did that to somebody who was born in July? You're like, hey, that Christmas present I got you, that was also for your birthday. They would be like, what?
Man, it's been my whole life. I'm used to it. It stinks.
Our good friend Lauren Roberts is like birthdays mean more to her than anything. Like, you can tell because the way she celebrates people's birthdays, it's like her way of saying to you, you better freaking celebrate my birthday. And if she found out that this was a thing for you, I think that she would be pretty incensed. I think she would be pretty triggered.
Sorry.
That sucks, man.
I don't feel like I should have to apologize for that. It's just the way I am.
I'm not asking you to apologize.
I know, but I did, and I'm taking it back. I don't apologize.
Yeah, don't unapologize.
Yeah, I just...
Because it's everybody else's fault.
Which is, honestly, it's probably not good because it makes me miss on other people's who really care about the birthday. Because I just don't think about it. Like, I'm like...
Because your birthday's always gotten just totally dissed.
Yeah, which I like giving gifts. I really care about that. But that's funny. Who was it I was talking to about this the other day? I can't remember. I don't do my own birthday well. So.
Wow. Well, here on Ancient and New, we're going to celebrate your birthday and Christmas. So deal with that.
Thanks. I don't know if we're going to record this on my birthday. Actually, Christmas is on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday.
Day before your birthday. Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast, ostensibly. And we are going to talk about the Bible. So it's Christmas, right? And so we're going to do a Christmassy thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at, I was talking about this in our high school small group, but, small group that we lead for high school kids. And, And I love this passage of scripture because it's like a moment where scripture becomes like a musical, where all of a sudden people burst into song. That's so great. Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 1, there are two people who just burst into a song. And so we're going to look at the second one, which is Zechariah. He's the father of John the Baptist.
I thought we said we were good. Oh, never mind. Yeah, let's do it. I had it on Mary's food.
Verse 67.
This shows how much, if you're new to this, we don't plan anything.
Nah. We had like a 14 second conversation.
We said, let's do one of the songs from Luke chapter 1.
Yeah.
And you said, is there one that you care about more? And I was like, no, it doesn't matter. And then I, in my head, we were doing Mary's, but we're doing Zechariah.
I thought you said Zechariah.
It doesn't mean anything. I just had to swipe up my phone a little bit. I didn't read the other
4 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. So Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. Angel Gabriel showed up to him when he had drawn a lot, which meant he had to serve as a temple priest in the temple of God. Gabriel shows up and says, the Lord has remembered your prayer. And he's like, what prayer? And he's like, the prayer that you prayed to get pregnant. You and your wife. And he's like, whoa, that was years ago. We're way past that. And he's like, no, you guys are going to have a baby and he's going to be a prophet and he's going to ready the way for the Messiah. And he's like, whoa, well, how can I be sure this is going to happen? And the angel Gabriel's like, well, then you're not going to talk for the entire time and you can't speak anymore. And so boom, the dude's mute. And then he goes home and they get pregnant. And when the baby is born, one thing that Angel told him was that his name would be John, which is weird because they didn't have any relatives.
Do you think their last name was Bon Jovi?
Zechariah Bon Jovi?
John Bon Jovi. That's pretty funny. I don't know why that popped in my head. You said prayer, and then I started tapping my foot because I was thinking of Living on a Prayer. I don't know why.
Tommy used to work on.
What does that mean? That's what popped in my head when you said the word prayer.
You were not born anytime near that song.
No, I just think of anytime we do a Young Life Club, Devo's like, Jaina, tell us about Jaina. Tommy.
She dreams of running away. Zechariah Cena was...
Cena?
Yeah.
John Cena. Okay. Yikes. High school Thomas just laughed so hard.
I wish 25-year-old Thomas would have laughed hard.
I'm smiling really big.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't see it, but it's true.
The baby's born, and they're like, what are you going to name the baby? And Elizabeth says, his name's John. And they're like, you don't have any relatives named John. So they ask Zechariah, and he like marks down on a tablet, his name is John. And immediately his mouth was opened, and he began to speak. And it says he was praising God. And then he just bursts into this song. He says this. This is from Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Wow. Cool song.
Yeah, it's super cool. I was struck. I mean, I'm like rereading it. Sorry, I was trying to figure out the context of this part. I don't know if I overlooked it or what, but just the visual... In verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God,
yeah,
by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness,
yeah,
and in the shadow of death to guide our just like
that's amazing, isn't it?
Gosh, that's beautiful. That's what you want in a song, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's so rich.
Mm. Yeah, it's super cool. I think. I mean, just the initially with that one, just the beauty of it stood out to me. I don't even know if there's anything other than that. I was at a concert last night. And I don't remember the song that I heard. I think it was from, I mean, it was a song Andrew Peterson did, but he talked about how it, within the song, something, some lyric along the lines of like, there's no dark too dark for the light of
right
what the Lord has. And it was just, that was so, it was so cool. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe I read that this morning. Did I read that this morning? No,
I wasn't here.
Yeah, you weren't. You weren't in my quiet time. I think it was from a song last night, but it was such a sweet thought and a cool thought. Just the visuals of light and dark, and like, you know, light always wins. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess except in like a black hole, which none of us have ever been in except for Matthew McConaughey. So there's no way of really knowing. But like, yeah, no, like even in the tiniest shimmer under a door jam, yeah. You know, if you were like playing hide and go seek as a kid, like we used to play hide and go seek in the dark. That was like our game that we'd play.
Terrifying.
Yeah. But like, you know, you never wanted to be in the place where like the tiny bit of light that came from a window was coming through, because it always won, even if it was just a tiny bit, but it was always visible. And that's a helpful thing to think about. And like, it's a cool thing to, look for in dark moments, is like, okay, where is the little bit of light here? Mm. Where can I find that?
Good word.
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I really, for whatever situation it is, but it's there somewhere. And it may take a lot of squinting and like getting down on your hands and knees to find where it's coming from, but it's there somewhere. Anyways. Yeah,
this is reminding me, I feel like he's like sideways quoting Hosea chapter 6, which has that prophecy of the Messiah that says,
for those of us who don't have memorized, please.
As surely as the sun rises,
okay, yeah, I did that
he
one.
Will appear. And I, you know, it's just, as somebody that tries to write songs, this area of this part of this song is just so ridiculously cool.
Mm-hmm.
That these words, because of the tender mercy of our God, that is so cool. It's like, it makes you think of like when somebody who is really, really, really strong also knows how to have a soft touch.
Okay.
You know, like, you think about being a little kid and just being like carried by your dad.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, you know, when you're like 3 years old and your dad just picks you up in his arms and just carries you tenderly. And he's not rough. He's gentle. And he knows how to have a soft touch. And the way that Zechariah says this, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. Like living in darkness, it's like you just get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's been dark, it's like you don't know anything else. I mean, when you think about what darkness is like, it's like you can't see. Everything is scarier. Everything, every shape, like in your mind, it's something nefarious. You know, it's like, it's something dangerous. The simplest shape, it's like a coat rack or like any, like a lamp or something right. like that. When you're in a darkened room, when you see that outline, you think it's like a skeleton or a monster or something like that.
Yeah.
And the tiniest bit of light like changes the whole thing.
Right.
Like, exactly as you're saying that. I love the way you said it, that light always wins. But like when you're living in darkness, it's like, man, it's like you don't remember what it's like to know where you're going. You don't remember what it's like to see your way and to not have to step carefully. But when the room is lit up, you can run at full speed.
Mm.
And I think that's cool. Is a cool thought that like, that the one who's coming is going to light everything up, and I can be fully me and not be afraid.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. There's almost no light fixtures in my house. Mm. You know, there's like a couple of lamps and
yeah,
the way my house
oh,
is
yeah,
set
like
up.
In the ceilings, there's no,
yeah. So like, not, and like even the one in the hallway, the light bulb's been out for a few weeks and I just haven't gotten a new one. I need to.
You know, the last episode we talked about the mountain of laundry you had, and then this time
it's still here. It's still here. Don't worry. All of it's been at least cleaned. It's just
so
in a basket.
Does Maddie have to do light bulbs as well?
No, Maddie, don't worry. we were hanging out yesterday, and she was like, you laughed at this. And it was when I talked about the woodpeckering thing. She said, I could tell you thought that was the funniest thing you've ever said. But no, like, okay, so the way my house is set up, my bedroom is like the size of a couch, basically. It's yeah. My bed fits in it.
It's like a shoebox, and somehow you shove yourself into it.
Yeah, and I put all my clothes and stuff in the closet in my guest bedroom, which is twice the size of my bedroom. You would ask, why don't I just switch? And I'm like, I don't really know. I just have always lived in that bedroom, so I stay that way. But every morning I get up way before the sun rises, and I have to, because there's no light fixtures, I have to go across the room to the desk and turn a lamp on. And it's like every morning, it's like a prayer that I didn't leave anything on the floor. Cause the amount of times I have like fallen over a shoe or a tennis ball or something stupid. It's like, why is there a tennis ball in this bedroom? And it's, oh, I was rolling my back on it because I had a knot. Okay.
Just like a chopstick.
Yeah. But like, it's so funny how much damage those do to me, you know, like,
yeah,
I'll step on a shoe and roll my ankle and fall. And it's like that. Oh, it's just because it's dark that it freaking shoe tripped me up.
It doesn't take much to roll your ankle though. Let's be honest.
No, when you're 6'3" and your legs look like that of Big Bird, it's, that doesn't work very well. But it's the same thing you're saying. It's just funny what can make me bust my face in the pitch black. When I have my phone flashlight on, I'm totally fine, which is the weakest light in the world. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I love this phrase about guiding our feet to the path of peace. We were talking about this, recently. And just the idea of peace and like that it's like, when you think of the word peace, for me, the thing that it's been lately is just the idea of the end of drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you think about like what your life, what your week, what your day would be like if you didn't have any senseless drama in it.
Yeah.
Like if everybody just loved each other and got along and nobody was afraid of anybody else and nobody was jealous or nobody was like strutting, nobody was showing off. And everybody was just generous and peaceful. Like, this is a very attractive concept to me.
Yeah.
That he would come, he would bring light because of his tender mercy. He knows how to have a soft touch, and that he would guide us into a place where the drama's over.
Yeah.
Gosh. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. I think my favorite thing. Sorry, I didn't expound on that.
No, you carry on, dude. You don't have to take us to your verse.
My favorite thing on here, in here, within this, that Zechariah presumably saying was in the, in verse 72.
Uh-huh.
He says he's talking about the Lord, and he says, to show mercy to our ancestors. And to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. I love that for a few reasons. One, it's just, to me, it's a cool reminder that like the thing with Abraham, you know, however hundreds of years before this, was a thing between God and a really old man about having a kid.
Mm.
And here's Zechariah in a very similar situation, like an old man who shouldn't be having kids.
That's such a cool connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool. And two, it's just to remember like the promise that God made a long time ago, the God of the Old Testament, who for some reason we all paint in a different light than Jesus, you know, who like a lot of us cower at and have a tendency to do that if we're not careful. But like that God, who is the same God then, now and forever to come, like made a promise to Abraham that came true, you know, something that seemed ridiculous and to Abraham seemed ridiculous and didn't seem possible. And, you know, Abraham certainly didn't think it was possible because he tried every way possible to have a kid outside of what God asked. And, it happened. And then all the things he said were going to happen happened. Here we are, like, dozens of people later through the line of all the people, and we have Jesus. Well, we're, you know, we're talking about John right here, but like, it's just a cool reminder that like the oath he swore to our father Abraham came true. Something that he swore and promised would happen happened. And I love it when there's physical, because there are things in my life all the time that are reminders of things that God has promised that I just don't pick up on or remember. And then they come true. And, you know, just like, there's all kinds of things in scriptures that the Lord promises that are being fulfilled every day in my life.
Yeah.
And it's just a cool reminder to see one that like is so obvious. It's so obvious.
I love that thought, because I love the idea of, you know, a people of, cause like the Hebrew people were a people of a book, you know, they had a book. They stuck to the book. They read the book. They reminded each other of the book. They sang songs from the book. It was like, and it had all these promises. And then to be able to say like, whoa, it's not a promise anymore. It happened. He's doing it. You did it. Like it's happening. That is so cool. You know, that's just such an exciting thing. I've always wondered that too, with like, there's that place in Isaiah chapter 7 that says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and will give birth to a child, and he will be called, and we'll call him Emmanuel. I've always wondered if like, was there a moment during Mary's pregnancy where she realized like, oh, it was me.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. That scripture that we all have learned like, and have heard our whole life, like thousands of years, like that, or hundreds of years, that was always about me.
Right.
Not only is it happening, this was about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that same thing and extrapolate it out here. It's like God, not only is God doing this, but he's fulfilling a promise that directly concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
It like Zechariah starts this whole song by saying, he has come and has redeemed his people. That is so cool. It's so exciting. Like it happened. I was looking at the verse right after what you were pointing out, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. I think you and I talk about this concept a lot just because we were raised in a similar kind of Christian background. Mm-hmm. But like the way that I was raised, like fear was always associated with serving the Lord in like a, and not like a healthy dose, like a healthy version of fear. It was like, if you don't witness to this many people this week, then you probably aren't a Christian. You probably are going to hell.
Yeah. That's how that works.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like I heard that in so many words or I inferred that. It was like, no, that was the message. Mm. You know, if you don't come to everything, then you probably don't care about this and you're probably going to hell. Because you're probably not legit.
Right.
And we know if you aren't really legit, then you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always, when I was growing up, I heard the good news of the gospel, but it's like, if the good news of the gospel was a soprano singing a song, there was like a bass line of fear that played with it.
Mm-hmm.
And what Zechariah is saying here is you're making a way for us to serve you without fear.
Yeah.
Because the rising sun is coming.
Yeah. That's
cool. And he's going to bring light, you know, and he's going to, you're redeeming your people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can just serve you and not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid if we're accepted. We're accepted. We don't have to be afraid about whether or not we're loved. We're loved. We don't have to be afraid about whether or not we're forgiven. Doesn't he mention the forgiveness of sins in here?
I'm sure he does.
I totally think that he did.
Yes, verse 77.
Perfect. Yeah, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. It's like, there it is. I get to serve...
I'm so sorry, people
you
listening.
You cleared your throat so loud in the microphone.
I tried to move and I went My neck wasn't working.
And this is a man whose arms are so long that he literally could hold the mic so far away that you would never hear any sounds he makes.
They get everything when they get this show. Yeah. Every detail.
So, yeah, like knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God. It's like, and because of that, I get to figure out what it feels like and looks like to serve the Lord with no fear.
Hmm.
That, you know, that kind of anti-harmony of fear against the beautiful melody of the gospel is gone.
Hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. This is grace. This is like a great moment for good old Zechariah.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, I don't think we ever hear from him again, right? Outside of the beginning of this.
No, this is it. This is his shining moment.
It's super cool.
And he shone brightly.
Yeah. I don't know.
Good song, dude.
It's interesting. I love that about the Christmas story. There's characters who are beautiful and they're just a flash in the pan, but they have a great role.
You know? Like Simeon and
Joseph and Anna.
Wise men and
The shepherds. They all just, there's just like, it's its own little island in the sea of the gospel. And it's so beautiful.
Well said.
Thanks. I like that one. I'm going to steal that
from
myself.
From yourself. Yeah.
That's funny.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Thomas's birthday, which is also Becky Cox's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget it, folks. Like, send him a text on December 30th. He's never been celebrated. Let's do it upright this year.
For our surprise engagement party, I made Maddie get out of the car and go in by herself. Because I didn't know what to do. I don't know how to do those things.
What? Why did you do that?
I don't know. I don't know how to act.
Why did y'all come in together?
I don't know how to act. It was pouring rain, first of all. But I kind of used that as an excuse.
That is so ridiculous. Also, Cash Accardi, the entire time before you got there, every time he saw me, he just goes, "Where's Thomas?" I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't live with Thomas. He just sees us playing guitar together all the time.
Yeah.
Well, we're super thankful you guys hang out with us. And some of our favorite comments are when people say, "I love listening to the show because it's like we get to hang out with you."
Oh yeah, it's really sweet.
And that is that's just a very sweet encouragement. We're super thankful for that.
It's really nice.
It is really nice.
Yeah, our friend Matthew in Texas tells me that a lot, and it's really, really sweet. If you need some good music, listen to Matthew Ruiz.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We can 100% confirm. Hmm. 10 out of 10 would listen again.
You'll hear from us again. I was going to say, in case you don't hear from us again, happy Christmas. But
yeah, you'll hear from us.
Yeah, you'll hear, but I think we should do Mary's song next time.
Happy Christmas in the meantime. Mary's song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool. If you're a listener to this and you know you're going to listen next week, just know that that's what we're going to do next.
What a cool idea. We give them homework.
Yeah. That works. That works usually in this. No, hold on. I want to keep the...
Yeah.
I want to keep the spontaneity of our podcast. We will not be studying Mary's song.
Not at all.
On purpose. Like, if it comes up in my quiet time, that's what's going
to
happen.
It's not that we refuse to do it.
No, it's just like, that's not us admitting to preparing. We don't prepare.
We're so glad you listened to
this.
Yeah,
thanks. You shouldn't, but you do. Thanks.
We love you a ton, and we are so thankful for your messages. Until next time, I am Lee.
Thomas.
This has been HNM New.
Nations that long in darkness walked have now seen a glorious light. On them who dwell in shades of death, the light shines heavenly bright. From though the virgin's child is born, the Son of God is given. Oh, His reign shall forever.